Hey, this is Talk with Rollshare. I'm Sophie Smallwood, co-founder of Rollshare.com. When you think male-dominated industries, what do you think about? Well, imagine being a woman, a mother, make that a mother of twins, who needs career flexibility in the police. That was Ellie Piedmont. Ellie served as a detective job share on a public inquiry about undercover policing. Hear how Ellie and her partner secured and succeeded in the job share on a highly sensitive, high-profile inquiry.
I was in Hackney for 5 years and then kind of central London, and then I was in Lambeth. And my final 2 years, two and a half years, I did a job share. And it was, I had twins when I was 30, and kind of did my husband, I had a maternity leave, which is obviously a bit longer in the UK than in the States. And then I had my husband, we were at the same level. So he took a bit more time out than I did, actually. He took a career break for about 14 months and I went back full time. And then I went part time for a bit and he was full time. And over the years, we've pretty much done every kind of combination going. And then I approached a fantastic woman called Penny, and we approached someone else together and said, look, how about you take us on as a job share for this role? We were both at the same level. And it was in relation to this managing disclosure to a big public inquiry in the UK. And luckily the leader that we approached was really open-minded about it, because the Metropolitan Police could potentially be, it's a rigid uniformed service, it doesn't necessarily have some of the benefits that you can have in smaller startups where you're a bit like, okay, let's just try that, if it doesn't work we can change it. It's a little bit more formulaic
and quite male dominated kind of also, right?
Response, yeah for sure. And so luckily the person who was the decision maker on it was kind of a bit like, let's give it a go. Let's try it. If it doesn't work, we can just change it. So he was really open, but we did have some kind of pushback. There was another kind of a senior manager who we were sort of reporting into, who he was really supportive of us personally, but was worried that being a job share micro team would undermine our credibility when we were talking to other people. So he's kind of a bit like, maybe don't have that on your email signature. But we kind of felt people have to know how you're working in order to know kind of that they, to feel like they've got the information and that they can trust that you're handling things. So we felt we had to put something, an illusion. So we had like a joint email signature. So people could feel that we were really joined up together. Mm-hmm. But this another manager kind of said, can you change it? Can you not do that and then just have two separate ones? And we talked about it and we thought, no, actually, we need to kind of push back on that, because if we're hiding the fact that we're a job share team, then A, people won't know that we are, and it will make work difficult because people will be confused about who's doing what. And also it sends kind of the wrong message to our team. We started off managing a really small team, but part of our job was growing that team to about kind of 30 plus over the 2 years. And we didn't want to send the wrong message that we were doing something wrong that needed to be hidden, or it was kind of like, a bit embarrassing or lacked credibility. So we stuck to our guns on that one, and it was kind of fine. It was a few months of people going, right, so you're a job share team, that's weird, so which one of you does this and which one of you does that? And then we just kind of we worked through those conversations rather than avoided having those conversations.
I think that's the right approach. Absolutely. Now I'd love to understand a little bit more about the concerns that senior leader had.
He was, personally really supportive of us.
Right.
But because our role was quite strategic, mm-hmm. and we were going out into all the different, the Metropolitan Police at the time was about 45,000 people. So, a really big, a really big beast of an organisation. And the job that we had in the organisation had some difficult conversations to have with other bits. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was quite challenging. And I think he was worried that people wouldn't perceive us as doing a serious, important job because we were doing it part-time as a micro team.
Interesting.
And he's a lovely guy and kind of a bit like, look, you know, you're going to have some tough conversations and I don't want people to feel like they can push you around or, you know, give you a difficult, you know, not take you seriously.
So you said you managed a team of people that were reporting into you, but were you also engaging with external stakeholders?
Yeah. So it was, it's a really kind of controversial, difficult kind of public inquiry, and it was the most wide-ranging, and it's still very much ongoing. It's one of the most wide-ranging and kind of largest public inquiries in the England and Wales that there's ever been. And our organization was, you know, a central part of that and had some really difficult questions to answer. So we were liaising externally with legal teams from people who were impacted on by the public inquiry. We were liaising in some cases with like media teams, members of the public, advocacy groups, MPs. Yeah, there was a lot of external groups that we were engaging with, as well as internally.
It's a public inquiry. Are you able to say what it was or what it is?
Yeah, it's the undercover policing inquiry in the UK. So if you're not familiar with it, there's quite a lot of kind of serious issues which are being explored by the public inquiry. But this was, we were kind of setting up the Met Police's response to it. And it was announced in 2014 and we started working on it in September 2014. So it's been going for a long time. And
right.
they're about to, this summer is when they're meant to be starting to hear live witnesses. So it's been a very long, it's covering undercover policing between 1968 and the present day. So it's a huge period of time, huge, huge amount of material. And part of our job was disclosing secret material to the public inquiry.
Wow. I think
so
this
it was kind of like it was a high responsibility job that was kind of important to the Metropolitan Police and also, you know, to the public and key stakeholders.
Absolutely. I'm fascinated. I want to hear more.
Yeah, I can't really talk to it too much about the public inquiry. But yeah, it is fascinating, and it's on a really important topic.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the concerns, right? So some of the concerns were around whether or not these stakeholders and the different parties that you'd be dealing with might not see you as credible. So you knew that was a concern, obviously, from the get-go. How did you as a team plan out your partnership? How did you handle handovers? What worked? What didn't?
Yeah. So luckily, we knew each other quite well before we started. And that was sort of part of the reason that we decided to kind of go for it together. But we also, from very early on, we kind of agreed that we needed to kind of really try and have no egos between us and that we really needed to be super open with each other about our weaknesses and our strengths and the things that we thought we were good at and the things that we, you know, struggled with and mistakes we'd made in the past and that we still, you know, that we wanted to make sure we didn't make again. And I think having those difficult conversations is actually one of the best things about being in a role share team and a job share team is because you've got that, particularly when you're more senior, sometimes, you know, leadership can be a bit lonely. Mm-hmm. And when you're in that micro team, you've got a, you know, a buddy who's, you know, you're there with, and it's fantastic from that point of view. So although doing that pushback to that, senior officer who was kind of, you know, nice but like kind of, oh, don't tell people, it was kind of easier because we were doing it together.
I've heard that before. There's something really powerful about almost the confidence that you gain when you're together in a role.
Definitely. Definitely. And so, yeah, we did it. So one of us did Monday. It was, you know, pretty standard in terms of one of us did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The other one of us did Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we both did a kind of a slightly shorter day on the Wednesday, but crossed over. It had loads of benefits for our organization because we could just hammer out loads of meetings and discussions on that Wednesday. And we, what we developed in terms of our handover process, we had a kind of like red flags at the top of, you know, the kind of the real burning issues that the person needed to get onto first thing on the kind of the, on the Wednesday morning and make sure they'd got resolved, you know, really quick.
And was then this just an Excel document or I'd love to, was it as simple as an Excel document? Was it an email? These little tactical things, I think sometimes people are curious about.
So we did it on an email, but with a set structure each week. And we copied in our bosses and also our kind of the team leaders who reported into us. And by this, after about 2 years, everybody was just like relying on it as our kind of our general update kind of structure. And people found it generally, you know, pretty helpful in terms of understanding where things had got up to. And a lot of the work streams that we had were really kind of diverse and things like, you know, difficult to keep track of. So having that kind of top level document that was kind of like, right, Wednesday lunchtime, this is where we're at with this, or, you know, by Friday afternoon, this is where we're at with that, was really helpful. And it really helped us build trust with our team leaders and with our management, because they could see that, you know, A, that we were working really hard to make sure that we had the right information and we were giving each other the right information, but that we were being kind of totally open with them as well to say, look, this is where we're up to. And in terms of like personal accountability, I've never been more accountable for my efficiency at work, I think, ever. It was, being a job share was, you know, absolutely fantastic for that, because all those little niggly kind of bad habits on a Friday afternoon, maybe that kind of thing, they just go, because I didn't want to ever kind of leave it for Penny to come in on a Monday morning and for her to ever think, cool, she had a bit of a slow Friday afternoon, or, you know, I would have thought she would have got that done, or that kind of stuff. So it was really kind of boom, boom, boom all the time, because I knew that Penny was going to open up on Monday morning and go, okay, right, so where are we at?
And I think it.
Yeah, and it was brilliant for all of those. If I knew that it was only going to be me that was going to, you know, look on Monday morning and think, oh, really? Could you have not fitted that in? You know, surely that could have, you know, it was only doing that all of that kind of got dealt with, which was brilliant. And I think, yeah, getting rid of egos and also having that buddy, and also we had to kind of really commit to, because, you know, things don't go right all the time. And sometimes there are problems, and sometimes, you know, we all do things, you know, in a way that, you know, is a little bit suboptimal. And we had to have a conversation with our boss about, okay, right, particularly because of what we were dealing with, we needed to have a process by which if one of us thought the other one was engaging in misconduct, or he was worried that there was any kind of misconduct happening, that we would absolutely say, look, yes, we're not a team now. This is, you know, you've got misconduct you need to look into. So here's our, you know, separate things. And all of our emails could be tracked and all of that stuff, even though we used a joint account. If you needed to kind of get into the kind of the forensic side of it. But then we told him that, you know, if it's not a misconduct issue that you're worried about, if it's just the case of something wasn't quite as good as you thought it might be, or you weren't, you know, if it was just like a standard work issue discussion, then we were going to be like, no, we're a team. And we agreed that we would always kind of stick to the we on there, whether it was something really good or something really, you know, something that hadn't gone quite so well. that unless it was a question of misconduct, it was like an impenetrable, we wouldn't, you know, try and either, you know, push the focus either onto ourselves or off ourselves. We would always be a we in that respect.
And very that, powerful. Yeah,
it's that worked powerful. Really well. It did work really well, and there were probably only about once or twice in the time that we were job sharing where that kind of got a bit tested. Sure. But you know, we stuck to it, and it was it was really, really important, because it wouldn't work if, you know, as soon as something was particularly good, you've got one person going, oh, that was me, I wrote that, or I did that. It's like, no, we did it.
What's really interesting about this role that you're in is, well, one, I think most people wouldn't even imagine that you could do a job share, one, in the police department, and two, there's oftentimes a lot of sort of questions around whether or not you can do micro teaming at senior strategic levels, which we've heard many, many stories, and here's yet another one. But there's a lot of pressure in your type of role, it sounds like, more so than perhaps other professions that are also strategic, right? I mean, these are very sensitive types of roles when you are in the police department. And so the fact that you were able to really do it and you stuck by your principles of no ego, being super open about your strengths and what you're working on, your due diligence in your handovers, making sure, as you said, that, you know, on Monday when your partner was coming in, that she had a healthy list of things to do, and that you had, in essence, done your part in the role. All of these things really matter. Now, in your job share in particular, would you say that you were sort of a mirror split, more of a complementary split? Were you like for like? Were you sort of seamless from the outside, or were you kind of a hybrid?
Yeah, we were actually really different and had different strengths and different kind of like natural or kind of like default ways of working. So I think probably Penny would say I was more happily kind of outgoing and focused around ideas and things like that. And she was very much more at home with structure and process and detail. And so in many ways, in terms of our boss thought that we were a kind of a great pairing, because I would kind of get something off the ground and say, oh, let's, you know, do it kind of along these lines, or, you know, what about this or what about that? And she'd be like, let's just get it down on paper and put the detail in and then make sure that it's, you know, it functions well and all of those things. So if I'd have just been doing the whole job on my own, I'd never have been able to do all the kind of like the really good completer, finisher, kind of the kind of real world stuff that Penny was so brilliant at. So it was really complimentary in that side of thing. And I think as well, because you're having a longer period away from work, every time I was coming back into work, I was so enthused and so pleased to be there that it was kind of, you know, you'd just kind of on it the whole time. And she had the similar thing. So my boss was like generally really happy that all of the time he had, you know, somebody there, albeit two different people, who, you know, was always pretty much always rested, always engaged, always kind of like really pleased to be there, normally because I'd had 4 days with the kids at that point and I was like, get me to the office.
Oh, I know that feeling. Yeah.
Give me a coffee on the tube. I need to feel, you know, like a human. And I learned so much from working so closely with somebody with different skills to mine. And so I was constantly trying to go, right, okay, how would Penny look at this document? How would Penny write this email? How can I kind of borrow from her expertise? And yeah, it was fantastic.
So there's this natural sort of upskilling that happened between the two of you because you had different skills, and also from what it sounds like, a grown empathy, right? Because you're almost having to walk in the shoes of another person. As you say, you know, how would she do it?
Yeah.
What if you don't know the person that you are looking to share a role with? What if you want to share a role? You think your role could be shareable. You think you could yourself be happy to put your ego aside, share that job, to get the flexibility that you need while sustaining that career that you embrace and the role that you embrace. How can you build trust with someone that you don't know?
I think you have to be able to try and build trust really quickly and be kind of really open about the times in your career when you felt vulnerable or a bit out of place or when things weren't quite working, and kind of just being open about all of that so that the person that you're teaming with kind of understands your journey and can see it from where you sit, rather than, you know, the kind of the outward facing, oh, everything's all glossy and perfect. So I think you have to be able to let them in to the kind of, you know, the struggles and the tribulations of, you know, picking a path through, you know, things that require you to, that mean that you need flexibility in particular, I think. But I think, you know, in many, that can be done, you know, through a series of conversations. It doesn't, you know, I don't think you have to at all have a kind of a long backstory with somebody. But I think you do have to be willing to kind of do that opening up, so that you can kind of really connect as a pair and kind of have each other's back like that. And I think in terms of so I've done part-time, full-time, kind of excessive hours, different sort of shifts since, you know, just standard part-time since we had kids. And I think the absolutely the most effective one that I have done was job sharing. Because you actually do, if you're dipping into your job on the days when you're not supposed to be, because your partner is doing it, you're kind of doing it wrong. You're doing your job badly. Whereas every time I've been part-time or doing other kind of hours, and there's always that need to go, I'll just have a look, I'll just fit in more work into the hours. And there's always that need to kind of dip back, and always that worry about, I'm not, you know, oh, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, etc. Even if you know, not being paid to do it, particularly as, you know, roles have got bigger, and if you know you've got more responsibility. I've lost track of the amount of friends I've got who basically do a full-time job in a four-day week, etc., and that seems to be pretty standard. But with a job share, you actually do get that time, because if you're, you know, dipping into emails, you are making a mess of things for your job share partner, because they're like, no, get away from the email. If I need you, I'll phone you, etc. Which is, I think, one of the best things about it, I think.
My goodness, I could speak to you for hours. I think the appetite for individuals who have the same ambition that you had and have still clearly, but want that flexibility as well, exists, right? I think there's a lot of people who are curious about sharing a role and how they could potentially do it. The challenge that they have immediately is not knowing how to approach it and how to, in essence, convince their managers. So if you had to give someone a piece of advice who's thinking about it, what would you say to them?
Ooh. I think just speak to people. I think just find out. You never know what connections are going to be sparked by a conversation, or kind of what opportunities might open up. Or, you know, that person that you might have connected with might not be the right person, but their friend of a friend might be. And I think just because there might not be a template of it working in your organization, that doesn't mean that it wouldn't. And I honestly think that there are probably very few roles where a job share wouldn't work.
Right.
It's all about communication and openness. And I still think that job is the job that I have performed best in my life, and I'm pretty much sure that is down to having done it as a micro team.
And that was Ellie Piemont. Today, Ellie is the head of membership and operations at the Associated Retirement Community Operators. Her experience sharing a role as a detective is an inspiring example of going for it with confidence and an open mind, regardless of the corporate legacy, turning the doubtful into the delightful. Thanks for listening, and join us for the next episode of Talk Role Share.